I've never worked anywhere where safety has been so important. It was a check the box is what we hear a lot of. Mm-hmm. It was, we did it because we were supposed to. Now you hear a lot, they do it because they care, because they want to, because they want to be safe.
You are listening to CORE, powered by and for the Holt family of companies. Let's dig in.
Happy holidays. I'd like to start out this episode with some gratitude for my friends and family, and specifically our Holt family. Each and every day, our Holt family works to ensure our safety in the workplace. And in today's episode, we are going to spend some time talking about one of the methods that we use to achieve that goal. Today is December 28th, and this is episode 6 of CORE, May the Force Be With You. In 2014, the safety department started a program called the Task Force, spearheaded by Dan Johns, who, if you don't know, is the former CFO of Holt and was an active safety advocate. This program is essentially a safety committee of individuals who address current practices to improve safety measures. The important part of this program is that it is action-based. Instead of a complaint session, meetings of the task force address flaws in safety and present viable solutions. Today, I am honored to be sitting here with two valued members of the West Sacramento Task Force, Brad Jacobs and Mike Pettig. Welcome to CORE. Can you each share a little about yourself?
Hello. Thank you for having me. I'm Brad Jacobs. I'm currently in the parts department here at West Sacramento, and I've been with Holt for 24 years.
Hi, my name is Mike Pettig. I'm a service supervisor over the shop for the engine division of West Sacramento. Been with Holt for 11 years this coming January, and started out as a field service technician for the power systems division. Moved into the office as the shop foreman 7 years ago last September, and then just recently a year ago last November, became the service supervisor for the shop.
Awesome. Do you miss being out in the field?
I do. I really do. I enjoyed my time out there. I loved teaching and guiding the apprentices. It was fun.
But tell me that you're happy where you are now.
Oh yeah, I am. I am. I'm 58 years old. I just turned, and today it's all about the apprentices that come through the shop. I've done about all I'm going to do. You know, I'm on the other side of things, but watching the new guys come in the shop, you know, come in, they're scared, they're a little timid, and then a few months in, their head comes up a little bit, and that chest comes out, and they start getting it, and just watching that growth is what keeps me going.
That's got to be pretty special. Awesome. So, Brad, will you tell me, how did you get involved with the task force?
I was invited, actually, at the beginning, but I believe it was 2016, some of the initial task force meetings. We came out to one here in Pleasant Grove, observed the meeting, and then took the notes of that and went and started one in West Sacramento.
Some of it was during the selection process was trying to get people involved from different departments. Brad's in parts. At the time when we started, it was called Power Systems. We got people also in there from material handling. So it's just about getting people from different perspectives, different departments that may have different needs, and maybe safety is a little different on there. I mean, safety, obviously, mm-hmm. but you know, they have their side of the building. We have ours. So, you know, we all come together, and I think that's what it was about. I think I was invited would be a good way of saying it, mm-hmm. As the shop foreman. Paul Sinogi at that time was the facilitator, because there is no hierarchy again in the task force. I've kind of taken on his role as that, just facilitator. Brad does all of our minutes and notes and make sure everything is documented and put on paper and out to the members of the task force for the next meeting, so we can make progress and move forward.
So when you have people coming from all these different departments and different roles and different daily duties, and then you're talking about general safety practices, how are those unique perspectives helpful in coming together and creating these general safety practices when people may be bringing up specific issues like within their role?
Well, historically, I think it you know, again, different perspectives from different departments, but then we kind of incorporate that into the building, the facility, not just as an individual want or need or safety. I don't know if issue is the right word, safety item, but we then turn it into a facility safety item.
Okay, so now I've given kind of a brief introduction of what the task force is. Can you share in your own words what you do as members of the task force?
So as a member of the task force, we communicate with our other fellow employees, see if there's something that they observe that may need to be addressed and bring that up in the meeting. See if we can bring, it's kind of a melting of the minds, if you will, in the meeting is a terrible phrase, but very few people have started their career at Holt. Most of them have worked somewhere else before, whether it be in a industrial type setting or at one of the community colleges or the trade schools. And they all have some form of a safety program. And we draw on that experience and knowledge and what they've seen or done at those previous jobs and try and bring the best of all of those into to create Holt's culture and make that flourish.
And we've been very successful with that, in my opinion, because general census, correct me if I'm wrong, everyone says I've never worked in such a safe environment. I've never worked anywhere where safety has been so important. It was a check the box is what we hear a lot of. Mm-hmm. It was, we did it because we were supposed to. Now you hear a lot, they do it because they care, because they want to, because they want to be safe. And there's a lot of watching out for each other, which is, I think, one of the coolest parts is it creates a it creates an environment that, I mean, people aren't afraid to call somebody out. Hey, where's your safety glasses, dude? You know, get your vest on, whatever the issue is. And no one on the reciprocating side of that, you know, people don't take that the wrong way. They take it as they're looking out for my safety. I think that comes from what Brad just said. A lot of that does.
Yeah, that's cool. It really builds the culture in the shops, which is really nice. Okay, so the pandemic kind of derailed this program because it's centered around getting together for meaningful discussions, which can't really be achieved through a Zoom screen. So what is so impactful about sitting down together in person to discuss safety?
So in my time of being in the different meetings that we've had, seeing the other members that are, I guess you'd say, working peers as opposed to supervisors and managers. The supervisors and managers are in the meetings, but as we engage in discussing a topic, they see that there's no rank. Mm-hmm. Everybody has an equal voice. It's just as important as everybody else. And that was one of the big things, was let someone speak everything they have to say. Don't cut off or try and correct somebody because they may have something very valuable to say in the course of that sentence.
Was it challenging to kind of establish that rapport?
It does. It takes a couple meetings for that to actually start to click, and you'll see the other new members who we try to cycle out periodically. You will see those new members go, this is really a beneficial thing.
Have you ever been in a situation where an executive or a manager may have tarnished the camaraderie that comes out of the task force?
No, I don't think I've ever seen that.
Like,
they
typically take a back seat and allow it to happen.
Very much so. Every meeting, Carrie, this year, since we've started, Paul and Carrie Relay have both been in the meetings, and they like to sit back and let it develop, and then they may come out with we're going to make that happen right now, we'll fix that. But it's not anything that they say, look, we're going to do it this way versus that way. Mm-hmm. There's none of that.
Okay, so now putting myself in your guys' shoes, members of the task force are often asked to bring up topics or ideas that may be controversial or simply uncomfortable to talk about. This program kind of draws in our other loyalty, honesty, and integrity core value, as I imagine that these meetings require some serious built trust amongst peers. So what makes you individually feel comfortable to bring up ideas or things that you may have seen around the shop?
For me, it's, I think mostly it's just knowing that the execs that are involved, they're open-minded. They're all about safety. I've even been, I was told there is no dollar figure on safety, and that came from an exec. So, that's pretty cool stuff. And that's the vibe. That's the feeling. That's what I hope everyone on the task force feels, gets, because that's what I get. Even without them being told directly to me, I mean, that's the vibe. So, we're all in it together. I think everyone, like Brad said earlier, new members will come in, 'cause we try to rotate out, you know, and get some fresh ideas, some fresh faces and stuff. And at first it's, you know, they see the execs and supervisors in there and it's a little intimidating, but that goes away really fast because of the way the meeting flows. There is, again, I hate to keep beating this horse, but there is no hierarchy in there. And I think it's very apparent. I hope everyone sees it like I see it. If that answers your question.
Oh, it does. So this program has made a very positive impact to have even revitalized it post-COVID. Can you share some of the successes that you've had from the task force?
We just now fired back up, really. So we've made a couple accomplishments recently, but again, we're in our infant stage of coming back live. What are some, I'm going to let Brad, he's got the minutes here. I'm going to let him speak to what we have done, but I do have some off the top of my head from pre-COVID. Our welding, electrical outlets for our welders. That was a big safety item. That's 480 volts. So we corrected all that through the building. That was huge. We've done a lot. We really have.
I think one of the most recent things that we were able to address really quickly was visitors coming into the building. And vendors or customers. We've been trying to wear the safety vests when you're not in that. It's not your work area. So one of them was trying to get a vest for those people as they came through the door. And we were able to make some very easy and quick stations at the main entry points and hang some vests right there for them with the safety glasses and vests. So as they came in, it visually, as they walk in the door, they can see, hey, there's some PPE I need to be putting on before I go into the building. That's been a big deal. That's worked out really well.
So I'm not in the shop. I'm in an office. Mm-hmm. So being in the shop and being able to identify non-shop personnel as they're walking through, why is that a big deal?
Well, the people working in the shop, if they're working in their area, if they're using a grinder, cutting torch, things of that nature that may have something that is going to become airborne and a potential hazard. If they see a vest, they realize that person is not from that work area. They may not be aware of the scope work going on in that location. It has them maybe take a minute and reevaluate, you know, use the track program and say, I need to maybe put up some more barriers or wait for that person to leave and continue my work, get a spotter for, if there's somebody, a lot of traffic coming through that area. So it's just a very quick visual reminder that they may not be the sole person working in that area and that there's other hazards that they may not initially account for.
So this was a quick win for the task force, right? So give me the timeline. Somebody brought this up. Hey, I want to be able to identify non-shop personnel when they're walking through. And then what happened?
I actually think that started coming about before we actually started meeting. We meet once a month. So, I would say that wasn't a matter of a couple, 3 months. We had that out. Jacob, our maintenance, person at our facility, Jacob, he had the vest stations hanging. I would say just within a couple of months, it was pretty fast.
That's pretty fast.
One of the other quick wins too was, they call them DAGs. They're magnets that stick on the forks on a forklift in case you are picking up a load that is made of metal and your forks are also made of metal. So very slick surface that can slide. We addressed that as well, made sure that we have the proper DAGs for each department, and have identified where those are, so everyone knows where they are, and if they need them, they know where to find them and how to install them and put them on. They're huge rubber magnets that just stick right onto the forklift forks. So that was another quick win. For material handling, I already had some over there in place. I walked the facility with Matt Day, seen where theirs were. Brad got ordered some for our side. We posted them or placed them where they needed to be. And that was that. But that was another quick win since we've gone back.
What other successes have you had?
Composite blocks versus wood blocks for blocking cribbing, which I think has stretched to most facilities at this point, if from what I'm hearing. I can speak only for West Sac, but I don't have wood. We don't use wood anymore. We've disposed of all the wood blocking cribbing in the West Sac facility.
So for those of us not in the shop, can you explain to me what the difference between a wood block and a composite block is in the realm of safety?
Yeah, wood, potential split, knots, just all of the, you know, things that come along with wood. Composite is just that. It's a hard, I don't know, plastic type compressed material, lasts a lot longer. Again, not an inexpensive change, but definitely on a safety standpoint, there's no comparison.
So these blocks are used to block the equipment from rolling around and potentially like onto somebody,
or you take its ability to move away, and you got to set it on something so it's to hold the equipment up, support it.
So if the wood splits, if you have a wood block and it splits, yeah, Where's the potential for danger there?
You could, whatever's underneath there, potentially smashed, right? And of course there's a way of blocking, you know, if, mm-hmm, depending on height and stuff like that. And the higher you go, these composites, they are shaped and molded in a way that they interlock together. As you have to raise, the higher you go, that's how you stack them, and they actually lock themselves together. Wood, you can't do that. I mean, there is no locking that together. It is what it is. So they've come a long way with technology, and it just makes it a much safer way of doing things.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So we talked about at the task force, you know, you're coming together from all these different departments to really focus on your facility. But these facility-specific conversations are stretching across the company. So these practices are reaching into, like, this composite block idea, I believe, came up in the Pleasant Grove task force, and it stretched over to your task force and is starting to be implemented in every single facility that we have. So that's a really cool element of the task force, that it's so facility specific, but it has the potential to help so many people across our company. When you're in a meeting, do you feel supported when you bring up a concern?
Yes. No, there's no prejudgment on the question or the subject that's brought up. We try to play into the scenarios out, and it's to what's going on and what that would be, and try and come up with solutions from other people's experiences. Sometimes it takes more than one meeting or two meetings or three meetings to come up with a viable solution that works for Holte California's culture. There are some solutions right off the bat on some things, but it's not something that we can stand behind or want to put into our workplace. And that's usually ruled out by the members of the meeting, not necessarily the executives that will rule out some of those possible solutions. We try to take that problem, add that solution to it, and see what the outcome would be. And then try and see if we can poke holes in that and see if that would cause additional problems once we tried to make that a solution. And sometimes we have, and we've said, okay, well, that's not going to work for us. We need to go back to the drawing board and come up with some other options. So we're always very supported by the executives on that. And that sometimes we don't have an immediate success. It takes a little while to get to some of those, and they're okay with that. We try not to continue that task until we come up with a solution as best we can.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes it does take a little while to figure out what we can use as a good solution.
Yeah. And the task force, like, it sounds like from just what you're saying right there, it's working as intended. Somebody isn't just bringing up oh, hey, I saw this happening. We shouldn't do that anymore. Right. You guys are all working through potential solutions. Like you said, trying to poke holes in it and find the optimal outcome for each safety challenge that you may encounter. Is there anything difficult about being on the task force?
For me, no. Brad does all the work with the minutes. No, it's I can't think of anything about the task force that is difficult. Maybe if you want to call finding the solution for, let's, some of these examples Brad was bringing up that we put on the list, and mm-hmm. it's not coming off the list until we come up with a resolution. I can't think of a specific item, but I do remember things being on our list for months. But that wasn't because we were procrastinating. It was because we were trying to collectively find the best solution to the issue, right? That's about the most difficult thing I can think of, right? Is just making, you want to do it right. You don't want to do it twice, right? It's safety task force. We have a topic. It's not just to check the box and get it off the list. We want to implement it so it stays in place and spreads, as we were just talking about, facility to facility.
The only difficulty I think getting for some people to understand is that the safety task force is not the end all be all of addressing the issues. If there's an issue that's found in between the meetings, we try to address that immediately with the supervisor or us in the task force, and we'll talk about it, what we have for a solution, and resolve it before the meeting. And there's been a few of those that have come and gone. But we do talk about that in the next safety task force. Here's what came about. Here's what the correction was. Does anybody have any ideas on that, of improving that solution? You see a problem that might be from that solution? But it's all the time. It's never just at what's at the meetings. And we try to get everybody involved and not feel it can only be addressed at one of the meetings. Mm-hmm. So that's a challenge, that just to know that it's kind of a live project all the time. It's not just monthly.
Mm-hmm.
And going along with that, each department, they know which members of their department is a part of the task force, right? So as things come up between our actual meetings, say material handling, for example, they know the two representatives that come to the meetings for their department. So we encourage the rest of the department to go to them, to reach out to them if something comes up, if they see something, in between the meetings. So it's not just about, hey, let's meet once a month and come up with some ideas. It's an ongoing, it's a daily thing.
Can you walk me through what a typical meeting of the task force looks like?
I like to walk the facility before the meeting, preferably maybe the day before, the day of, just so it's fresh in your mind. We don't always get that. All of us don't always get the opportunity, but that's usually the first thing I'll do is, did anyone have a chance to take a walk? Did you see anything? And then we just go around the room, see if anyone first, we'll start hitting the issues and where we're at. If we do come up with a topic, someone owns it, right? All right. Can you handle that? Yep. You handle that. So we collectively agree on who's going to follow through with the idea. And then we'll recap on those. Hey, Relay, what'd you figure out for blah, 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 and so on and so on. Take down the notes, the progress, maybe take it off the list if that's where we're at, accomplished, whatever. And then go around the room, see if anyone has new ideas, kind of open it up for everyone to have their opportunity to bring what they need to bring to the table. That's pretty much a typical meeting. Brad takes all of our notes and gets us ready.
Okay, so West Sacramento is considered one of our largest locations. So how do you see this being implemented in a smaller location, like a Cat rental store or a Whole Ag Solutions location?
When we first started, I remember, I think it's going to take someone that wants to make it work and got to get the right team there. But I don't think there's a facility too big or too small that wouldn't benefit from what we do. Everyone sees something that we could do better, safer at some point. And for those voices to come to the table as a group. I've been going to leadership at the Cat Rental store in Elk Grove the last few months, and it's a small facility, but still, I don't think size really has anything to do with the contributions to the safety.
Yeah, the size of the meetings is kind of interesting. When we first started the meetings, we had upwards of 30 people in the large conference room. But we had help from, when we were starting to kind of get the flow of it, from the other, a couple of the guys that were on the safety task force from Pleasant Grove came down, members of the executive team, members of the safety department. And then we had all the people who were going to participate from West Sac. So it was a very large meeting. They're much smaller now, really kind of pared that down. And now we've got it rolling and on a regular kind of stream of how we need to run the meeting and how things work. And it's pared down to a smaller group of folks. But some of the smaller facilities, I'm not sure what the population is. Maybe it's something they incorporate into a safety task or a safety meeting. You do your safety meeting, do your 30 minutes or 40 minutes of that in 10, 15 minutes. Hey, does anybody have anything that needs to be addressed? Have we noticed anything in the yard? Is there something here that needs to be happened? And that can be brought up at the meeting for everybody to pitch that idea.
You know, West Sac, that has the agenda. Yeah, anybody's interested, wants to sit down, see how we do what we do, come on up, man. Come on to West Sac. And when December, I don't know when the next one is for sure, but the door's open. It's a safety task force. Door's open. Anybody wants to come up? That's how we got started. Brad just talked about it. So if there's anybody interested in seeing how we do what we do, the door's open. Come on up.
Awesome. So before sitting down here with Brad and Mike, I had the opportunity to sit down with Nathan Ladd, our risk manager, who explained to me that at its core, the task force is designed for members to be empowered by each other to implement safety solutions to safety issues. He said that revitalizing this program is a very high priority of the safety department because when it comes down to it, the people who are doing the job are going to make the best decision on how to do that job better. He said that the task force is the perfect outlet for them to be heard. And then you've got the people who aren't on the task force coming to the committee members and saying, hey, we've got a hazard over here. Hey, I need help with this. Gone to my supervisor like 5 times, but we should do this. And just the fact that it's not a suggestion box, it's an action team, makes this a really, really great and efficient program. What do you think that the future holds for the task force?
With the progress we've had, you know, and it didn't completely stop during COVID, it did slow way down. But with the success we've had and at the rate we keep going, it's like there's always going to be something. There's always going to be something. It's just you got to open your eyes. And Nathan's right. It's the boots on the ground that are doing it every day that are best suited to go, hey, that's not comfortable. That's not the safest way. This might be better. So that involvement from the team members, I mean, it's crucial. It's critical. They think of things we may not because they're performing the task, right? I see big things happening for the task force. We've done huge things. We're still doing huge things. I don't see us stopping anytime soon.
All right. So this program is successful when each individual team cares enough about making their workplace safer to actively meet and operate the force kind of on their own. I know that the ultimate goal is to have each of these safety task forces self-governed with some occasional oversight from the safety department. And to the best of my knowledge, the safety department helped you guys kind of get your kickstart in West Sac. What would you tell someone who may want to volunteer to be part of the task force?
I'd say go for it. Get you involved, get you engaged. Also, it makes you think a little differently. When you talk about it, you think about it, right? If it's a discussion, then then you're going to put some thought to it. So I would say go for it. I would say you will enjoy it. Just being able to give the input, seeing the results, seeing something come to fruition, knowing that people are going to go home, as Ken would say, with all their fingers and toes, and knowing you were a part of that, it's a pretty cool feeling.
Yeah, anyone who's interested in coming to a meeting is welcome to join us. it's not a meeting full of answers. You can't come to the meeting and just receive answers on what happens. It, you get out of it what you put into it. So there's a little bit of thought process and work and stuff. And so there's been some that have been pretty challenging. And
so has being on the task force changed your feelings towards safety and how we manage safety as a company?
Yes, it has. And how is the involvement that the execs put in? It's like, again, we're not checking boxes. We're not crossing T's and dotting I's. We're making a difference. And I don't want to sound corny or cliche, but personally, I'll speak for myself. I feel that everyone in that room, even as we've revolved and you know, moved people out and new faces in and stuff like that, if you're not on board the first meeting or two, everyone gets engaged, and no matter what your title, what your position, it's been meaningful for me. So it's changed my perspective as far as safety. It's a company-wide thing. It goes from Kim Monroe down to whoever, and it's obvious, it's clear. I've worked a lot of places myself, and safety's never been quite the focus like it is here at Holt. And again, what's changed my feelings towards it is that everyone is engaged, and it's important and meaningful to everyone.
Everyone home, at, you know, going home every day with all your fingers and toes at the end of the day, is they take it seriously. You know, when I started, it was safety glasses were not always worn in the job sites, in the work environment. It was more of an encouraged thing to do. And that was before we had the very positive culture that we have now. And I think that was a big shift. I take a lot of the safety things that we do at work, and it's actually trickled into my home life. More aware of hearing conservation, fire safety, just, you know, using power tools and things. I tried to be a little more thoughtful and just grabbing a saw and going at it kind of a thing. But it's been a very positive thing, seeing that change over the many years I've now been here. But it's been a great thing to see the culture change and being actually embraced by my coworkers. You know, I think they see it as a very positive thing, and I think they appreciate it too.
It was said at our safety meeting, not the task force meeting, but our safety meeting last month, that even in the past, it wasn't that we didn't want to be safe. We just didn't know, right? If you don't know, you just don't know. So we've learned a lot as a group, as a team, as a company. And it was also mentioned, yeah, you know, that little aisle in the shop, as long as you were in that aisle, you didn't need safety glasses. Like that debris, there's some invisible wall there that's going to stop that from flying in your eye. So just the progression with safety. And again, it's not that we didn't want to be safe. We didn't know.
So Nathan also said that if any of you listeners are interested in volunteering to be part of the task force, or if you see an opportunity to start a task force at your location, you can reach straight out to him, and the safety department will do everything that they can to support the further development of this program. As we've heard from Brad and Mike, this has already proven to be a very successful program and has a very bright future for it. All it takes is someone to care. So thank you guys so much for being on this episode and for all the work you do to ensure our safety. Until next time, remember to keep building, keep growing, and keep listening to CORE. We'll see you next time.